اللہ الرحمن الرحیم ثنا شریف پریز آف نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم مدینہ شریف اور حضرت والا عارف باللہ رومی وقت تبریز دوران تو شاہ حکیم محمد اختر کا ور اللہ مقدہ رنگ لائیں گی کب میری آئے. اللہم صلی علی سیدنا محمد وعلیٰ سیدنا محمد. رنگ لائیں گی کب میری آہے پھر مدینے کی جانب کو جائیں, پھر مدینے کی جانب کو جائیں. رنگ لائیں گی کب میری آہے پھر مدینے کی جانب کو جائیں, پھر مدینے کی جانب کو جائیں. جب نظر آئے وہ سبز گنبد کہہ کے صلی علی جھوم جائے, جب نظر آئے وہ سبز گنبد کہہ کے صلی علی جھوم جائے, کہہ کے صلی علی جھوم جائے. رنگ لائیں گی کب میری آہے پھر مدینے کی جانب کو جائے. جب حضوری کا عالم عطا ہو ان کو افسانہ غم سنائے, جب حضوری کا عالم عطا ہو ان کو افسانہ غم سنائے. اب نہ جانا ہو گھر ہم کو واپس, اب نہ جانا ہو گھر ہم کو واپس, چپ کے چپ کے یہ مانگے دعائیں, چپ کے چپ کے یہ مانگے دعائیں. رنگ لائیں گی کب میری آہے پھر مدینے کی جانب کو جائیں. تیرے در پر میرا سر ہو یا رب, جان اس طرح تجھ پر لٹائیں. تیرے در پر میرا سر ہو یا رب, جان اس طرح تجھ پر لٹائے. مجھ کو اپنا بنا لو کرم سے, ہم کو اپنا بنا لو کرم سے, ملتزم پر یہ مانگے دعائیں, ملتزم پر یہ مانگے دعائیں. رنگ لائیں گی کب میری آہے پھر مدینے کی جانب کو جائیں. دونوں عالم کی کیا ہے حقیقت, جتنے عالم ہو تجھ پر لٹائیں. دونوں عالم کی کیا ہے حقیقت, جتنے عالم ہو تجھ پر لٹائے. سارے عالم میں پھر پھر کے یا رب, سارے عالم میں پھر پھر کے یا رب, تیرا درد محبت سنائے, تیرا درد محبت سنائے, تیرا درد محبت سنا کر, تیرا درد محبت سنا کر, سارے عالم کو مجنوں بنائے, سارے عالم کو مجنوں بنائے. رنگ لائیں گی کب میری آہے پھر مدینے کی جانب کو جائیں. سارے عالم کو مجنوں بنا کر میرے مولا تیرے گیت گائیں, سارے عالم کو مجنوں بنا کر میرے مولا تیرے گیت گائے، لذت قرب پا کر تیری ہم، لذت قرب پا کر تیری ہم، لذت دو جہاں بھول جائیں، لذت دو جہاں بھول جائیں، در بدر ڈھونڈتا ہے یہ اختر، در بدر ڈھونڈتا ہے یہ اختر، اہل درد محبت کو پائیں، اہل درد محبت کو پائیں، رنگ لائیں گی کب میری آہیں، پھر مدینے کی جانب کو جائیں، جب نظر آئے وہ سبز گنبد، کہہ کے صلی علی جھوم جائیں، کہہ کے صلی علی جھوم جائیں، رنگ لائیں گی کب میری آہیں، پھر مدینے کی جانب کو جائیں.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. رنگ لائیں گی کب میری آہیں، پھر مدینہ کی جانب کو جائیں. When will my weeping bear fruit so I could advance towards Madinah al-Munawwara. The person, when he sheds tears, then those tears are very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned in the hadith that one of the seven people will be under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaheed, will be that person who in seclusion, and he cries, فَفَاضُ عَيْنَاهُ, and he sheds tears for out of the fear and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned also in the hadith that there are two sets of eyes that Allah ta'ala really loves. One set of eyes are those eyes that remain awake in the path of Allah, guarding the saman, or keeping awake to see there's no impeding attack from the enemy, and those eyes that shed tears for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi used to say, sometimes when a person weeps, then those streaks of tears that comes on a person's cheek, then she try and take it and rub it over his face and entire body. Those tears are so powerful that it can extinguish the fire of Jahannam, inshallah. But Madinah ki jani ko jaye, so that I could advance towards Madinatul Munawwara. A person should have that yearning. Also, is mentioned in the hadith, la anibul muzribin habbu ilayya min zajalil musabbihin. That the tears of those who are repenting, they are more beloved to Allah than the tasbih of those who are making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here it is mentioned, going towards Madinatul Munawwara, jab nazar aaye wo sabz gumbad ke salli alayhi jhum jaye. That when the green dome becomes visible, then I shall say, salli alayhi, o durood shareef upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and jhum jaye, I will sway to and fro. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Patel Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, on occasion, he was standing outside, and he was looking at the green dome, and a certain doctor went past, and he asked Hazrat, that what are you looking at? So he said, I'm looking at the flights that are coming. So this person was confused. He said, Hazrat, there's no planes that come over here. So Hazrat explained, I am talking about the flights of durood, the people throughout the world are sending to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the ahla wala, these are the ones who thought in that way. So may Allah grant us the love for Madinatul Munawwara. Jab huzuri ka alam ata ho, unko aftana gham sunaye. When I'm given the opportunity to present myself before him, I will pour out to him the stories of grief. It is mentioned, Atabi rahmatullahi mentioned, one Bedouin came and he recited the verse, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ يَظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. And he read this beautiful couplet, يَا خَيْرَ مَنْ دُفِنَ بِالْقَاءِ عَظُمُهُ فَطَابَ مِنْ طِيبِهِنَّ أَلْقَاهُ وَالْأَكَمُ روح الفداء لفداء لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه الأفاق الأفاق وفيه الجود وفيه الكرم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتهم. And thereafter this person fell asleep with Atabi, and he had seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said, go and tell this Bedouin that whatever this person will ask, he will be granted. So Hazrat Asim Sahib Rahmatullahi used to say, when a person goes to Roza Mubarak, we also should recite this verse, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ يَظَلَمُوا أَنْفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ. That indeed, most definitely we have wronged ourselves. Then three things are mentioned over here. جَاءُوكَ, we have come to you, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The second thing, that is the first thing, we come to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The second thing, فَاسْتَغْفَرُ اللَّهُ, that we seek repentance of Allah. So before we come to the Roza Athar, Roza Mubarak, we make istighfar. Then the third thing, we address Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The two things I've done in my capacity. Oh Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you seek forgiveness on our behalf. وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ. May Allah give us the tawfiq, inshaAllah. And yet, a person pours out his grief. Mention one kisah. In Madinatul Munawwarah, many years ago, on the 10th of Muharram, there was one person who came and he sang the praises of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And thereafter he went and he addressed Abu Bakr radiallahu and Umar radiallahu and sang their praises, made salam to them. So one person was observing him doing all this. So on a pretext of da'wah, he told him that I'm a resident of Madinatul Munawwarah and I would like to invite you for a meal. Being a sunnat and being the person of Madinatul Munawwarah, so this person gladly accepted. So he went to the house, but this person had ulterior motives. Soon as he got the house, came to the house, he closed the door. He got two of his servants, held him down, and then he cut off his tongue. And he said, this is the tongue that you have praised Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was a Shia. He praised Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. Now go back and tell them to restore your tongue. So this person, very, very grieved. Imagine that excruciating pain. Someone cuts out your tongue. You just bite your tongue. How much of pain you go through. So this person comes in front of the Roza Mubarak. And he tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, oh Nabi of Allah, this tongue I have used to praise you. This tongue I have praised your boat, your companion. And this is what has happened to me. So thereafter he goes, he sleeps nearby. And in the dream he sees Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu come. And they restore his tongue, put it back into its place, and this person is able now to continue with his life. The next year, similarly on the 10th of Muharram, a similar incident happened. But this time, after singing the praise of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after singing the praise of Abu Bakr, Umar, another person comes, invites him. He is skeptical whether to accept his doubt because of his last experience, but nevertheless he accepted it. Now this person is taking him, now he becomes worried, sees that the person taking him in the same direction. Then he gets even more worried, he sees that he's taking him to the same house. But nevertheless he comes to the house, the person makes his ikram, and he sees to him, and gives him a good meal, etc. And then this person says that some time ago, there was a certain door in the house that was locked. So this person gets asked, who's in this house, who's in that room? And they heard a very, very bad scream from that room. So this person started crying, the host. He said, what can I tell you? And he gave the experience that last year, 10th of Muharram, my father invited someone and they cut off his tongue and he gave the whole incident. And then he said, that very night when he went to sleep, from the father's room we heard a terrible scream. And when we went to the room, we found that Allah Ta'ala transformed him into an ape and into a monkey. So he said, on some pretext, we managed to bluff the community that my father has passed away, and we took some wood, we covered it with some kafan, and we did like we buried him. But here is my father's condition over here. So this person said, I am that very person who came last. So here, this person, he poured out his heart to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ab na jana ho ghar humko wapas, chupke chupke ye mange duae. In secrecy we make dua never to return home. Yeah, a person should be sincere. Many a time a person, he'll make dua for Medina, a person making dua, Allah grant us death, Mubarak death, all of us will say Ameen. Allah grant us the death of Iman, all of us will say Ameen. And if that person is saying, Allah grant us death now in Madinatul Munawwarah, everyone becomes quiet. No, why? Because we need to go back home. So if a person is sincere, then he'll wish that the sand of Medina becomes the grave. مجھ کو اپنا بنا لو کرم سے ملتزم پر یہ مانگے دعائیں. Make me yours through your grace. This is the dua that to be made at the multazam, the place between the Kaaba Shari, the door of the Kaaba and the Hajar Aswad. That is the multazam. That is the place where a person is supposed to put his chest onto that place and pour his heart out. And those are the places where a person makes dua and duas are accepted. In today's time, it's very difficult to go over there. But the ulama explained, if a person stands directly behind that, he stands and he makes dua, inshallah Allah Ta'ala will bless him that with that dua as well, inshallah. Dono alam ki kya hai haqeeqat, jitne alam ho tujh par lutaye. What is the reality of this world and the next? I wish to sacrifice all the worlds for your pleasure. That when Allah Ta'ala becomes, Haji Imdallah rahmatullahi used to say, that oh Allah, tu mera aur mein tera aur tu mera. That oh Allah, you are mine, I am yours. So when a person has this jazba, that when a person wants to become Allah, then Allah becomes his. Man kana lillah, kana Allahu lahu. Whoever makes this sincere dua, that a person wants to sacrifice himself and sacrifice all his desires, then the person will become Allah Ta'ala. سارے عالم میں پھر پھر کہ یا رب تیرا درد محبت سنائے. I will travel the entire world, O Allah, and spread the gain and the joy of your love. مولانا موسیٰ صاحب دام برکاتہ explained yesterday the five qualities of the ulama Diyoban. And one of the qualities they explained that the ulama, they will travel place to place and spreading the deen of Islam, the Quran and the Sunnah in its pristine form, and also spreading the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah reward, as Hasim Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, those who are instrumental, Allah reward them who brought Hazrat to our country. And alhamdulillah, we got connected indirectly or directly towards him, and we are part of that majlis. So Hazrat Hasim Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, so many countries he went, and this was his, not for touring, or not for enjoyment or for holiday, but to spread the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سارے عالم کو مجنو بنا کر میرے مولا تیرے جی گائے. او مائی ماسٹر, I wish to sing about your love, causing the world to become insane. Yeah, today we become insane, we become intoxicated. One is a haram intoxicant, which is alcohol, or it is drugs, etc. There are many, many other intoxicants. The intoxicant of the love of this world, the intoxicant of the pleasures of this world, the entertainment of this world, the gadgets, the technology, so many intoxicants that we are going. One is to become intoxicant and mad in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us amongst those people, inshaAllah. لذت قرب پا کر تیری ہم لذت دو جہاں بھول جائیں. After attaining the enjoyment of your closeness, we will forget the joys of both the world. لذت قرب, قرب لذت کی چکا کر اے خدا, پھر رنجوری نہ کر اے مبتلا. That once we get the قربت and we get the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in reality a person will forget everything. He'll forget all the enjoyments of this world. He only wants to be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, become mad in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. در بدر ڈھونڈتا ہے یہ اختر, اہل در محبت کو پائے. اختر goes from place to place to search for those who are possessed with the pain and the joy of your love. Yeah, the pain does not mean like a heart attack or some severe pain. What it means that just like a person who loves his wife and he will tolerate many hardships. He wants to buy a nice shoe. He will now save up that money. He will go to town, tolerate all the parking space. He might not find parking. He'll go and buy the shoe, and then he'll present it to his wife. How happy she will get! But all this in the love and all that pain that he took, that effort he took. So here, in the same way, a person, as Hasim Sahib Abdullah says, that he will go place to place, and this is the Allah Wala. They will go to place, as I mentioned, not to sightseeing or to ulterior motives, but they will go to spread the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make it easy and make it accepted, inshaAllah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Mawlana Musayyib Arifin is a student of the madrasa, qualified a few years ago. MashaAllah, he's from America, and he's come, he spent about 1 Ramadan here, about 3 years ago. And MashaAllah, he's there, he's doing khidmat of deen in America. And he was going to Bangladesh, but especially he came 3 or 4 days to spend time with Hazrat. He said he was staying at this. We don't appreciate. So those people who don't have Hazrat there, then they appreciate. So he made the effort. So he was going to Bangladesh, he got some time off. So he made sure he booked a ticket to South Africa. And then from South Africa, he was going to Bangladesh just for 4 or 5 days to spend some time. So may Allah give us tawfiq to appreciate also.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد really in the presence of such company we have Al-Hazrat Wala here I really don't have anything to say but you know, as I say الأمر فوق الأدب that as a command comes you follow a command so I just want to explain that we have Alhamdulillah, we have these majalis here, we have this ulama here, we have akabir here in this country, and we have easy access to them. And monthly, weekly, we have these programs going on. It is very important for us to attend these majalis. And you may not understand this, but for us who do not live here, and even if we want to, we cannot come easily to these places. You see, when you go outside in the world, there are many fitan that are outside, many calamities and situations come upon people. Even among the ulama and those people who are considered to be practicing Muslims. Now, the only thing that I think, you know, in my experience, that keeps people steadfast in deen is the ta'aluk with the akabir. There are certain times that you are faced with certain challenges that you don't know what to do. And even the lines between haq and batil are blurred because you'll find ulama who use dalail of Quran and hadith to make certain things permissible which you know have not been permissible. And these are the signs of the Day of Judgment where halal will become haram and haram will become halal. And this is happening every day around us. And it's coming from the mouths of those people who are called so-called educated and ulama as well. But in those times, the only thing that keeps us steadfast or keeps a person steadfast is a ta'aluk with akabir. This, even though we may not understand this, we may not see it happening, we may think that, you know, I come to a majlis, I don't see any change happening. But this is something that, as they explained yesterday, that this is a spiritual, operation that the akabir do. When we come in the company, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us the strength. That only when the time of need comes that we will see this phase of the akabir come about. So that is all I have to say. That you know, whilst we have this ni'mah of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala with you know amongst our midst, we have the akabir and we have a sheikh, we have ta'alluq and some we have munasaba with this sheikh. It is very important that we benefit from them as much as we can. As you know, in the Bani Israel, when Musa alayhi salam came, they didn't appreciate Musa alayhi salam. And then after he passed away, when Yusuf alayhi salam came, they said, only if we had like someone like Musa alayhi salam again come back to us. But they had the opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when he came, you made kufr, you did not accept his message. So it let it not be such that we miss this opportunity. When we miss this opportunity, then we will, you know, as I say, we will rub our hands and wish we had the opportunity again. But you know, in Arabic, this is an-ni'mah tu idha fuqidat urifat. Only when a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taken away, only then we realize it. But that time is too late. So then, in life, we have two types of pain. You know, they say the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. So either we discipline ourselves, our nafs, and come for this majalis and make our islah right now, or we'll face the pain of regret later. But the pain of discipline is only ounces, and the pain of regret is weighs tons. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم صدق الله المولانا العظيم First one sunnah of our beloved Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام And with regard to sunnahs, what we have learned, Hazrat Mar, and may Allah bring this into us, not just like, for example, Maulana Muhammad Mehtar, Allah Ta'ala reward him tremendously. This morning he mentioned the brothers who were here, that we read Ayatul Kursi, and then the ayat Hamim, Tanzeelul Kitabi min Allahil Azizil Alim, Ghafiri Zamb, Waqabili Tawb, Shadidil Iqab, Zit Tawb. لا إله إلا هو إليه المصير. And the great benefit of it. And now that was mentioned, we all heard it. And at that time, or in the morning that we have to read it, how many of us read it who heard it? And how many of us made intention that we will read it? So that is important, that when we listen, that we make niyat of amal. And what we learn from our mashayikh, from our shaykh, rahmatullah alayh, that when we hear something, when in fact we come for our majlis, when we go for a namaz, and if there is going to be a program, or we don't know there is going to be a program, but we make the niyat, I'm going to learn something about deen. I'm going to teach somebody about deen. If we say, occasion, somebody is not making his ruku properly, his sajda properly, instead of going to talk about it to the whole world in a nice way, we try how we can speak to that person. And that concern be in each one of us, not only the ulama, but everyone. When we see something, then that worry must be there. How can we correct it? In which way? So when we learn or teach about deen, you get the sawab of one hajj. Just that you go with the intention, you Juma we come normally, there is a bayan, that I'm going to learn about deen in the bayan. Now if we make that niyat, you get the sawab of one hajj. Just to learn about deen is a very great ibadat. Now here we come for our islah, for ta'alluq with Allah, Allah grant us. But that can't be done without ilm also. Nothing can be done without ilm. Iman also, with ilm of iman, that a person has ilm. So knowledge has got a very, very lofty status in our deen. So that we make that niyat. And every home of ours, we can make a madrasa. That we have ta'aleem for our islah, to change our lives, but to acquire knowledge. We have a short program. That house of ours becomes a madrasa. And it will shine out to Allah Ta'ala, to the people of the heavens, as a madrasa. And the more we can have it, can every home of ours can shine out like a darul ulum also. And there are, mashallah, those parents who are teaching their children or grandchildren some hadith kitab, one hadith that we are teaching in the house. So now that madrasa has gone to a higher level. So we make niyat always when we're going even our five times namaz. We're going to a jalsa. Nowadays there is jalsa season. It has become like that over a few years now. There is only jalsa season. Jalsa here, jalsa there. So many jalsas. If we go, then also make niyat, I'm going to acquire knowledge of deen. Right? Amal will be afterwards. But the knowledge of deen, and that is a great amal on its own. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayh, has written that when a person, if he can't practice, but he passes it on, and it comes in the hadith also, that those people who had acquired the knowledge of deen, and they pass it, sometimes those they pass it on to become better than what they are. And your niyat was to pass it on. We try to make amal, but this is a separate thing that you're just passing on the knowledge. And those who make amal, you also get sawab on it. In fact, our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, once in the haram of Makkah Sharif, after Fajr, he said that a person who learns one bab of knowledge or teaches it is better than 1,000 rakats of nafil namaz. So he said, I haven't got the strength to make now 1,000 rakats of nafil namaz. But let us talk about deen. Let us spread deen. Talk about one aspect of deen. And just by that you get the sawab of 1,000, more than 1,000, and of the haram. So this is a very important aspect, muzakara of deeni matters. We take it very lightly. Wherever there is a talk of deen or anything, it's a very, very great thing. Allah give us tawfiq to appreciate and to make qadr. Our ta'aleem in our homes is a very valuable thing, very valuable. Whatever ta'aleem it is of authentic kitabs of our akabir, etc. And most common fadail-e amal, and the effect of fadail-e amal, Allahu Akbar, how great isn't it? Or we have the other ta'aleem also, which we mentioned, like seerat, learn one masala, etc., something about tajweed, we learn a point. But even just fadail amal, which is the easiest, most common and most practical, we have that regularly. Our houses will shine out. Allah Ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. There's a great ni'mat that Allah's ayats are being read in the homes of the Azwaj Mutahharat, Ummahatul Mu'mineen. Allah Ta'ala refers to it as a great ni'mat of His. So the sunnah, we try and learn one sunnah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. after listening to Maulana's talk this morning, and at home also they listen, so I say, what have we made intention? That really in practicality, how much we bring some talim in our homes, and that we make muzakra of these things. Then second, that we make amal, we make that niyat also. First, just to acquire knowledge, that is a great amal, or to impart knowledge, that is a very, very great amal. Then to make amal on it ourselves, we make that niyat also, that is also very great. And then thirdly, to pass it on to others also. To learn, to practice, and then to propagate. And then to make others do the same also. That they also learn deen, practice deen, propagate deen. And this was, so to say, the slogan of Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali. Every way he should say that we learn deen, we practice deen, we propagate deen, and we make others do the same also, that they also do these things. Allah give us tawfiq. So with regard to sunnah, one is we make make dua, fervent dua, that, oh Allah, give me the knowledge of every sunnah. Perhaps we can't practice every sunnah. Our niyat must be there, but to have the knowledge. Otherwise, we don't have a knowledge. Like how many people, knowledge of miswak is a sunnah. But people who don't have that knowledge, na'uzubillah, na'uzubillah, make a mockery out of it. And in these times, you want to all, what things people say. So if we have the knowledge of what the value, and also which Hazrat Hakim Saab of one of our elders have written, when we are making miswak, make it with this niyat. There is the sunnah of my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is the sunnah of your beloved. And how Allah loves, and how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved miswak. Sometimes when it's not really such an occasion to make miswak, but make it with this niyat, that it is the sunnah of my Nabi, alayhi salat, then it will become much, much more valuable also. So the knowledge of every sunnah, and then the love of every sunnah, that is also a thing, may Allah give it and put it in our heart, that we have the love of him. If we can't practice it, whatever sunnah it might be, and for whatever reason you can't practice, but we make dua, heart is in Allah's control. Allah is muqallibul qulub, Allah is musarriful qulub, Allah turns heart. Today, if we have to think, and in our homes, our children, we got love of how many other tariqas, how many of other ways we have got. There is so many things. Even some people, that this was my father's way, my mother's way, and we're going to keep it. Whether it is according to Shariat or not. If it is according to Shariat, alhamdulillah, then by all means do it. But if it was not according, but my father used to do it, my mother used to do it, we have to do it this way. Each day, our Eid function, we have to have it, how my parents used to have it. But it was the whole family get together, all mix one another, are there, no parda. No, that we can't follow. But all good things they used to do, and also said, one person in the haram of Makkah, Mu'azzama, he said that many, many hajis come, people for Umrah come, and many take the wrong things from here. There are many wrong things which are happening, that they take. But the right things which are there, that they don't take. For example, there, we make five times namaz. When we leave there, then our five times namaz this week, then we are not doing our five times namaz. There, we see the people keeping roza Monday, Thursday, Ayyam-e-Bir, the middle days of the month. That few of us take back with us. Perhaps we do it there, but when we're gone, then we forget it again. No. Take the good things which are from there, and the people or wrong things which have come there, don't take the wrong things, take the right things. And that also, as it was said now, that if when we keep ta'alluq with our ulama, then we will be able to be guided what are the right things. Ulama used to say that when we go to Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif, then don't take from there also all the technology which is there. We are shopping, we are buying this gadget, we are buying that gadget. For whatever reason, previously we wouldn't get it freely here. Now it's everywhere in the whole world you get it. So you don't have to buy it there. But for some reason you buy it from there. One person many years ago in fact bought a TV set when TVs were not so common, that one such special type of TV. And he said, with the barakat of Makkah Sharif. And that's a dangerous statement. He bought it from there. So Allah Ta'ala protect us. So we take the good from there. So the sunnah, the knowledge of every sunnah, make dua for that. And a person, one of our friends is here, Saleh, mashallah, from Kamati Fort, once he told me to test these little children, they were small, on sunnah duas. Every dua at them they knew. So like that, how many duas do we know? The other day, some of our students were walking after Fajr, so the sun rose, so asked them, which is the dua when the sun rises? And mashallah, very good students, they thought little while, they said, no, we don't know, teach us. So alhamdulillah, what Allah Ta'ala taught us, alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَقَالَنَا يَوْمَنَا هَذَا وَلَمْ يُهْلِكْنَا بِذُنُوبِنَا. So that what a precious dua it is, what a wonderful dua it is. Every dua of Nabi, in fact, ulama have written just the duas of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam are proof of his nabuwat. It is beyond human capacity as a human on his own to ever think of all the things and how Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam made dua. Then once we were thinking and we asked that when a person removes his clothes, what is the dua? There is a dua then also when we wear also clothes, that dua most of us will know. But when we take out clothes, then there is a dua also. Bismillahilladhi la ilaha ghayruh. Allah reward Maulana Musa, he found it in the kitab and he brought it. So we read that dua. La ilaha illahu. Oh, la ilaha ghayruh. Bismillahilladhi la ilaha illahu. Bismillahilladhi la ilaha ghayruh. We read that dua, inshallah. To get the knowledge of all the sunnah, and also if we make just the masnoon duas, which are also so valuable, that is one way that a person makes Allah zikran kathira, the zikr of Allah in abundance. Take for example, we get up in the morning, there is a dua, alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana. Then there are other duas also, we can do some other things also. Then normally a person goes to toilet. So immediately, bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. There is a muraqaba while we are in the toilet, that all, like buzurs, when he saw the filth, excreta. So he pulled up his face, some person, so he says, why are you pulling up? Oh, that excreta gave him a voice. You're pulling up your face when you see me, when you smell me. He says, what was I? I was that delicious biryani for which you coveted so much. I was that delicious roast. I was that delicious chicken, whatever it was. When you made contact with me, this is what you made out of me. So this is what our haqiqat is, and now we pull up our faces for that. So the muraqaba when we're in the toilet, think of how bad I am. That wonderful biryani that was there, and how it was set and so nice. This is what I made out of it. All the ice cream, the juice, everything that I had, this is what I made out of it. When we come out, again immediately, ghufrana. Oh Allah, forgive me. And that also the explanation goes to so much our Shaykh Rahmatullah had explained that why ghufrana? That, oh, forgive me, your forgiveness, Ya Allah. Like a person caught red-handed committing, doing something wrong, and now he says, please forgive me. Now what wrong did you do in the toilet? The Hazrat explained that in that time you couldn't make Allah's zikr. So much we had to be connected. Allah's ni'mat, Allah's favors, Allah's greatness, Allah's kindness is so much that we had to be engrossed in it. Our connection with Allah all the time. When a person is in ni'mat, he thinks of Allah all the time. Allah bless us with that. When a person is in problems, he must be thinking of Allah Ta'ala all the time. Allah bless us with that. In every condition, we are thinking and our connection with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So now we are asking for forgiveness. Then Mufti Taqi Usmani Damat Barakatum is written to read Bismillah when we come out. Normally, perhaps we forget. We don't know when we read. And also then take for granted that we know everything. Somebody is saying the sunnahs of how to go toilet and come out. I know this, I practice it. But we find there are many that to read Bismillah when we come out first. This is also before we enter also, before the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khabai, read Bismillah. When we come out also, out of the toilet is also one thing. Don't read it while one leg is still in the toilet. Come out if possible, close the door, then read the dua. So, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Then, Alhamdulillah alladhi azhaba anni al-adha wa'afani. And if we just meditate a little on this dua, sometimes, perhaps not always, that what a dua, that, oh Allah, you took out this dirt and filth from me. when a person, one doctor said that the beginning of all diseases is when a person is constipated, and this filth and dirt, which is worse than poison, it's kept in its place and goes out in its place. But if it stays in the stomach, it will cause terrible, terrible diseases. So Allah Ta'ala took it out. Did we go and learn how to do our toilet? Did we read up some textbook that how to do our... Allah Ta'ala made it easy for us. Whether it's a child right born in the forest and in the jungles, the child also knows how to relieve itself. Who is it who gave this? And Allah's Qudrat. Digressing quite a bit, but just one other point that comes to mind. Allah is that great being. When a chicken is hatched of a hen, then the chicken doesn't look for the breast of the mother to drink its milk. Automatically, we will say instinctively, but Allah Ta'ala put it in it. Look for your food in the ground, start pecking. It starts pecking. When a human being's child is born, a woman's child is born, the mother doesn't teach it. It must look for the breast of the mother. It just craves for it. And then Allah puts the milk there. Who is this? There is Allah Ta'ala. So Allah's Qudrat is very, very great and very, very astonishing, fascinating Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat is. So we have to try and learn all this. And this is when we come in contact with those people our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, in his great tawadu and humility, he says, Allah walo se, ya Allah walo ke khadimo se. Learn it from Allah wala, and if you don't accept they are Allah wala, no problem. But accept it that they stayed with Allah wala. And what they got, we learn from them. So in that way, a person will learn. Hazrat Maulana Shah Masih Allah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, you want to go, for example, from Delhi to Bombay. The train has already left the place, it's just moving now. And now, you had a first class ticket, and you were going to sit in the first class, but you came late. Now the third class coach is in front of you. Now, if you say that I'm only going to go in first class, you won't reach Delhi. That coach is gone past the platform already. But you jump in the third class also, you will reach Delhi start. So if you want to reach your destination, if we feel today that all buzurgs are gone past also, now there are no buzurgs left, then only third class buzurgs. You say, even jump in the third class, you will still, inshallah, where that all the coaches are joined. Though your seats will be making a sound, the fan is working or not working, windows are open, not closing, or they are closed, they are not opening, whatever. But in whatever difficulty, that you will reach there, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq to understand. And it is also all on the murid. On his, what his intentions are, etc. So many qissas are written that when we have that desire in us, our sincerity, Allah makes us reach there and we fly away. So Hazrat also explained that, for example, the eggs of a bird that flies in the air, they came under the body of a hen that is sitting on the ground. But the warmth of that hen, and the eggs hatch eventually. Now those eggs, those chickens which are born now, they're not going to be pecking on the ground. They're not going to be on the ground. They're going to fly. The hen will say, oh, my children are flying. Where and where are they flying? I'm still on the ground yet. But they stay there, they will fly. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. So anyway, the sunnah, the love, the knowledge of the sunnah, the love of the sunnah, then we try and practice as much as we can. And here also, Allah give us all tawfiq. Sunnah is one thing also, we face challenges all the time. For example, we are late some night because of whatever program we had, whatever. Now I must read my sunnah of sleeping. And the demand of sleep is there also. So it's a demand of your nafs also, and you know I have to do my sunnah also. Now we are between the two. Allah give us tawfiq at that time to choose to do what we have to do. And it will be a few days, then Allah makes it easy. And then a person does it with great feeling. But if we just gave in to nafs, may Allah forgive us, may Allah guide us, then this carries on also all the time. And then we start missing more and more on the sunnah. And if we follow on that way, these forks come all the time in our lives. You see a woman, you want to look, but you know you mustn't look also. Now at that time, whatever we decide, if you don't look, you'll see you get stronger in that way. And Allah makes it easier for you. Afterwards, that hatred comes also. And then you just don't, no more. In fact, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say that if somebody holds you and opens your eyes and tells you to look, then also you'll be looking, but you're not looking. It won't mean anything to you. And at the moment, our condition, Allah make us maaf. That we still get pulled. So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal on every sunnah also. And then after that, to propagate every sunnah also. Allah give us tawfiq also wherever we can. And many people are doing it. Some are printing those little cards. You got them, you revive a sunnah, sunnah a day. Many, many in forms they are doing in our lives that we can impart it. And as Maulana Hassan Saab, Hafiji, who was here last night, Allah Ta'ala reward him tremendously. He's in Cape Town and he's doing tremendous work and Allah's help is with him. And he's such a person, whoever of us can become ba'at to him. He and there are other great, great ulama. Really, in our country, Allah has blessed us. Young they are. But what qualities Allah has given them, we will benefit tremendously, inshallah. So, one time, one person stayed with Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali for 1 year. And then they were traveling, came back to his village in India. So, Hadraji told him, see, people are going to ask you that for 1 year you stayed with your Shaykh, what did you learn? So he said, you must just tell them that you just see my life. That is what I have learned. So he said, Hazraji tied me up in that. That now I'm bound so much that people want to see what you learn from Hazraji, you must see my life. So how much are you bound in? So Maulana said last night that we must follow our Mashaykh. And how he bounded us up in such a beautiful way, he says, tell the Murids, you must watch my every movement. So how pardon devil do you here to become now? You must watch every movement of mine. So he bounded us up. That whoever the Shaykh is, the Shaykh has to be even more careful. That you Murid, you must watch your Shaykh, what he does. So how Allah Ta'ala, only Allah is the protector, Allah is the guide, otherwise an insan on his own with nafs and shaitan. And nafs and shaitan's temptations in the world today, the challenges are so many. That for example, for name, fame that we want to do, worldly gain we want to do, all these challenges come all the time. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Umar Jita, Rahmatullah Ali, we should try and read his life story, Sawani Hayat, it's just done in English and a lot of lessons to learn. He says when he just came some time from India after studies, and there are a lot of lessons to learn, people of Ladysmith invited him to come and give a talk of Deen. So he came and he came, made a taxi on his own, and always taxi prices are not cheap to make a taxi, and in those days also, and we hear the price, we don't compare it with today's, compare it with that price. He came here, then the people who had some other thoughts about our ulama and that, they heard his talk, etc., and they offered him about £350 in those days, which was about 20 times or more, much more than his monthly salary, what he used to earn. But he says, this was the first bait of shaitan, and I refused it. Now, what a man. It's not easy, very difficult. And then he came with his own taxi also. And he went away on his own expenses. And they offered him that, then they offered him a briefcase. A briefcase, even today, it's not a cheap item, but in those days also, but he refused that also. So Allah give us tawfiq. It's not easy, all this. We make all every kunjaish. And it is permissible that we also accept if somebody gives you a gift, but these people, who they were. So every sunnah Allah Ta'ala give us the love. And particularly now with this month of Rabiul Awwal. It's not confined to the month of Rabiul Awwal. And we must not speak only on sunnahs, etc., and the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rabiul Awwal, Rabiul Akhir. But this is a time when the whole world's Muslims, the inclination is towards Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his birth. Many people are doing wrong things celebrating about the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We don't do all those wrong things, and not just a matter of talking and that, but just a point of departure. That we leave, we start here, a point of arrival, a point of departure. And from here we must carry on whole life, the whole year. We don't have to wait for next year, Rabiul Awwal, then we will talk of sunnats again. No, the whole year. And for those who are of us who are in it, we carry on. Those who are not, make it start now. Let us start. Allah give us all tawfiq that we start acquainting ourselves with the sunnats of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Hattab rahmatullah alayhi used to say about sunnats, what beautiful little phrases, sentences, but what great in-depth meaning. Allah give us tawfiq to understand it in its reality. Hazrat used to say, sunnat ka tariqa ashal tariqa hai. The way of sunnat is the most easiest. But today, because we are out of tune, we are out of line, we find sunnats very hard. To practice upon sunnah in the present environment, we find it very, very hard. You want to have any occasion, you want to have a nikah, marriage, wedding. Wedding is really only nikah, but we call it also a wedding. The whole function we call the marriage. Whereas nikah is only that ijab in qabul really. And then walima from the boy's side. So that is so easy, but today to do it like that has become very, very hard. Because we are worried what the people will say. Our own daughter, who is getting married, or the mother, we say we're going to have it sunnat way. You see the tears, you see their face, how they go, that how we're going to manage this. It's, at that time, to have that, to have be steadfast on deen, and wean their hearts also at that time. That is also a thing that we learn from our buzurgs. Don't break their hearts and come with an iron fist and this is how we're going to do it and that's the end of it. No, learn. And this is also not only at that point, whenever it is, especially for those of us who are like imams in the place, who are looked up as senior ulama, and things, whether it's a wedding occasion, whether it's some other occasion, wrong things are happening in the town. Now don't go the night before and try and stop everything. When they've made all the preparations, a week before, now you want to go and stop things. No, make up the zahin of the people long before. And all that groundwork, the groundwork which Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam did in Makkah Sharif for 10 years, then the people were, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, were such that any word what Nabi Ali Salatu would say, they would accept it now. In Medina Sharif, then how leka became haram. Not just one command came, but when it was slowly, then alhamdulillah they gave it up completely. And look at the other hand, when that iman was built to that level, the command of hijab, parda came. And by the next morning, the women were in parda. The night they showed their burqas, whatever their chadars they used, and by the next morning all were in parda. So this is that effort of iman that has to be made. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib, Rahmatullah Alif, it was Hazrat's words, that today we don't have the istidad, the ability, the capability to practice upon Quran. Our iman is not on that level. Like for example, you tell somebody interest is haram and its forms of insurance, medical aid, all this. People will just say that this we can't do. Whereas at one time it was, you tell somebody this is haram, finish, it's haram. There is no question about it. And this is today also where it's a topsy-turvy world. Those people who will accept it wholeheartedly, they'll say this person doesn't know what's happening in the world. He's out of, he doesn't know that today what and what can happen and that. And he will talk about today a Muslim, good Muslim in the family, elders, will talk more better than, worse rather, than an insurance broker also. How he will try and speak to you and they get you convinced you have to have. Our own people will convince us today that you have, and that this person is a mad person, he doesn't know. But a person who explains and says that, no, you have to have this, you have to have that today, you have to have that today. That person is regarded as an enlightened person. That person. So, just as in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, those who accepted wholeheartedly, they were called sufaha. Na'uzubillah, the stupid people, they just accept everything. And those who confronted, they were regarded as the intelligent, and they were regarded as the educated. And it's the same story today. Always will be the same. Allah give us that true iman that we can accept. So sunnat ka tariqa, if we make effort, and this we all have to make effort on our homes, in our towns, our communities, for which every effort is necessary. Whether it's the khanqa effort, whether it's the jamaat, tabligh jamaat, where and where are we going to meet the people. If you are sitting in the khanqa, you are not really going out everywhere. One alim came and he said that Maulana Wali Hassan Tonki, Rahmatullah Ali, was a ustad in Binnuri town in Karachi, where he set to teach one day. Immediately he started with this word, tabligh haq hai, tabligh haq hai, tabligh haq hai. Students asked him, but what is this? Why are you saying this, that tabligh is true? Or what happened? So he says, I was coming and at a crossroads in Karachi city, like Karachi, what is the population and the people and the hooting, and there is a truck going, there is a bus going, there is a bicycle going, people are walking this way, that way, so many people and all going for their various things in their mind. So the thought came to me and I stood for a while. All these people, different types of people. People who look pious from their dressing, people who look far away from deen, people who look that they are in the top bracket, what their work is, etc., traveling in their car, everything. Who meets all these people? You say the Darul Uloom people are sitting in their Darul Ulooms. They don't go and meet these people. The Khanqa people are sitting in their Khanqa, which is also all haq. But these people, who is going to meet them? And the Jamaat goes and meet one person. Wherever he can be, they go and meet one person. Whether it's the concrete jungles of America and Europe, or whether it's the three jungles of Europe, of Africa and Asia, Allahu Akbar, Jamaats will go and meet every person. So all the work, and if we work in a way that we complement one another, then alhamdulillah, there will be great, great benefit. Allah give us tawfiq, and then wherever Allah uses us, and if a person is open, ya Allah, use me where I can benefit the most, and others also benefit. Leave ourselves open for Allah, and then Allah will use us for whatever is the most beneficial. In this one point that came to mind also, Allah give us all tawfiq. Whenever we travel anywhere, we go for Hajj Umrah, or we go in Jamaat, or we go with our mashayikh, we travel around. Then when we come back, our normal report is that, for example, in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, that people don't show respect to the Quran, or whatever else it is, though that has changed tremendously. Many other things, we speak only of the wrong which other people did. We don't speak of our own wrong. And we don't speak what we have benefited. If we have benefited, for example, I noticed that the people there are reading lot Quran Sharif. This was a weakness in mine. I wasn't in Quran Sharif. People are reading long rakats of namaz. My namaz is very short. People are making long duas. For hours they making duas. Standing and making duas. I learned this. I realized I got this great weakness. So if we, and wherever we go in Jamaat, that we see, for example, you go with the Arabs, one clear, Allah has scattered the lifestyle of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam in all the people. They are very particular of, when we enter the masjid, Salatul Tahiyyatul Masjid. They are very particular. I haven't got that in me. That I don't see. But I see some other weakness of theirs. Some people we go, for example, in Jamaat, how long they are all the time in namaz, in tilawat. Others are all the time the fikr of the ummat. And they're making gush this time, that time, odd times we feel, awkward times we feel, but they got that fikr in them. So those are the things that we take. Instead of focusing on the negative of other people, see what we have. And my weakness came to alive. I realized this weakness of mine. I realize that weakness of mine, then we have benefited. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So sunnat, the sunnat tariqa is ashal, is sunnat ka tariqa, ajmal tariqa, is the most beautiful. Which Allah Ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. You have in the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala a perfect example. So his way is the most perfect, the most beautiful. May Allah put that yaqeen into our hearts. Wherever we are, and if for some reason Some people work, for example, they can't dress according to sunnah, but have that in my heart that I love the sunnah. And unfortunately, at this moment, I'm not. But as soon as I can, I will come back in my sunnah dressing. And on the other hand, again, the holiday period is here. Now consider when we go for holidays, are we just going to discard our sunnah dressing also and put on other types of dressing of other people? We put on our Bermudas, it's covering my sitter. It's covering your sitter, no doubt. But whose tariqah is that? Is that our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's tariqah? Or whose tariqah is that? All our dressing, everything, let us see whose tariqah we follow. And that it is the most beautiful way is acknowledged by non-Muslims also. May Allah put it in our hearts also. And then to give us that real love for every sunnah. That every sunnah comes into our heart. And we love the sunnah from the bottom of the heart. And then sunnah ka tariqah, akmal tariqah is the most perfect way of doing things. May Allah bless us with that also. That the sunnahs of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come into the love of it. And then to practice it, that comes into our lives. Sunnahs are extremely valuable. Extremely valuable for us. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam loves the sunnahs. And a person who brings one sunnah alive, what great rewards they are. And at the time of the fasad in the ummah, and at this time we know what fasad there is. So if we try and bring one sunnah alive, and the easiest way is that we practice it ourselves, whether it is in our eating, whether it is in our dressing, whether it is in our sleeping, or in anything. One good friend of ours, he said, I'm so old now. Now only I've become conscious of the sleeping adab. So he said, we make muzakara of the sleeping adab, how we should sleep. So I told him that what we had learned, unfortunately Allah grant us the practice, he is quite old and I'm even older, but still that weaknesses persist in us. We learned that, for example, in Jamaat, Colonel Amiruddin, rahmatullah alayh, that when he used to, at night, he shouldn't let one sati, one brother, tell what the sunnahs are. But he should say, for example, we sit down to before sleeping, is sunnah to go and make wudu. So he should say, go and make your wudu now. Each one has to go and make his wudu. Come back, is sunnah to read Ayatul Kursi. Each one read your Ayatul Kursi. A few he used to choose, otherwise the sunnahs are so many, we can't manage all. And then the four quls, each one read the four quls. Now if we just make bayan of it, many times the person who made bayan, we also don't practice on it. But when you do it in this way, so for example in our home, if there is somebody, Allah gives himmat, at night we sit with our children and we tell them, this is the way we have to do. Now go and do it. I'm also doing it, you also do it. So in that way, it will come alive. Otherwise, it's just talk shop. We just talk and it doesn't come alive. Allah Ta'ala bless us with the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and bless us with the love of every sunnah. And to know the value of sunnahs, and especially in these days. And the sunnahs are also those that perhaps we don't realize it. We don't know the value, the non-Muslims. And that is why they are working, that every sunnah, they replace it with something else. They bring a place, something to replace it, and they work on the youth in a different way. They work on the woman in a different way, with the business people, with the professional people, and great effort they are making to remove one sunnah from us. And sunnahs, and also sunnahs are those things, we all will admit today there are a lot of problems, a lot of challenges we are facing. What the ummah is going through, and we don't know that what we will be facing in the future. Just now we heard before we came that Hazrat Maulana Shaykhul Islam, Maulana Hussain Ahmed Madani, rahmatullah alayh, what he had in mind, and what he worked for. Now perhaps after 50, 60, 70 years, people are seeing how foresighted he was. That what he understood and what he strove for and gave his life for. And what challenges he had to go to jail how many times. He had to face what were things. Now the people realize what he said, how true it was. So in order to get that, it's not really that we have to be like a rocket scientist or that you have to know the future so much. It is simply the shortcut and easy cut, follow sunnah. In everything, if we keep sunnah in our mind, whatever effort also, what was the tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is the sunnah in this? Sunnah cuts every fitna which will come after 50 years. If you follow the sunnah now in our families, it will cut it from the root. Everything if we do, commands of Allah Ta'ala and the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But that also, the challenge there is also, like Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, very broadly, where he was put in the well by his brothers, and then he was sold in the marketplace of Egypt. He was a Nabi of Allah. His father was a Nabi. He was destined to become a Nabi. But see, it wasn't just on the plate what he had to go through and how much he had to tolerate. After he was sold in the markets of Egypt as a slave, now he goes into the house of Aziz Zulaikha. There, what a challenge. Either you satisfy my desires, in which your human desires are also satisfied, either you go to jail. Again, the fork comes here. Now, at that time to choose, just to fulfill your desires at that time, it looks appealing also. Nafs and shaitan are there. But this was the Nabi and Allah's protection. But we also, we have to now see, at that time to do the wrong thing, and solve problem solved also. Easy, so easy way you solve the problem. No jail sentence, no how many years staying in the jail, and who wants to stay in a jail? And jails are always terrible places to be in. Not only today, all the time the jails are terrible places to be in. But the Nabi of Allah, he says, the jail is more beloved to me than what they are calling me to. Because here you are in conformity with the laws of Allah. And then finally, how long later in his life, then all that results came. So with every person, it's not just a matter of now we choose this path and you're going to see the results of it immediately. As Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali explained, that dua, one person came and he said to Hazrat, to make dua, I'm not motivated to make dua. I don't get I just don't feel like making dua. Hazrat said, the reason for that is because you are not seeing the result of the dua. Because what you're asking for, it seems to you, you're not getting that. That is why. If you get what you ask for, everyone will be motivated. For example, if we make dua now, Ya Allah, I need a million rand. And then a million rand falls in your lap. Or by the night you get your million rand. Or by tomorrow you get your million rand. Everyone will make dua. You make dua, Ya Allah, I've got this need of mine. I've got that need of mine. So please fulfill it. And it gets fulfilled. I'm hungry, Ya Allah. Send me food. And food comes down. Hot, hot food. Manna and salwa. From Jannah. Everyone will make dua. Because you see, but duas are accepted. Allah has promised He accepts duas. What certain conditions? But generally, Allah has promised that He accepts duas. So if we make that dua, and many times, and the acceptance of duas are also in various forms. Different ways Allah Ta'ala accepts duas. Not only that you are given what you asked for, but many other ways Allah Ta'ala accepts duas. So, Hazrat then explained, if you make dua, and you are given something better, then your dua has been accepted, but you don't understand it. Hazrat gives an example. You are traveling and a beggar is asking you for some money, he's begging for money, 5 rand, 10 rand, whatever, he's expecting something like that. But you gave him a gold coin. And that gold coin looks like bronze, copper, like our 50 cent piece, but it's a gold coin. Genuine Kruger Rand or half a Kruger Rand or whatever it is. Now that person doesn't expect it also. And he doesn't know the value of that also. And he thinks it's a 50 cent, it's a 20 cent you gave him. So perhaps many times, well, we don't know yet, but India, they'll throw it back at you. They'll give it back to you, they'll throw it away. But he doesn't know you gave him something much more valuable than what he asked for. Now our lack of contact with deen and the value of deen, when Allah, you made dua, and Allah gave you tawfiq of reading 2 rakats of namaz in that. Allah accepted your dua. Now we will feel, what is 2 rakats namaz? Where is Allahu Akbar? In 2 rakats from Allahu Akbar. and then Sana, each word of Sana, and then Alhamdu Sharif, and each word, each letter of one surat, one Allahu Akbar to go in ruku, one Sami Allahu liman hamida, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Namaz is so packed with what treasures. One rakat, one part of namaz. Sometimes when we are a little bit feeling down, sad, and we are reading, but we're not really getting. But just think this, so I'm reading La ilaha illallah. What a blessing. What a great thing. I just read Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's not just read. What the tawfiq Allah gave you to read. Just one istighfar. How Allah loves istighfar. Even the word of istighfar, the reality Allah grant us. But the words also, Subhanallah bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. All this, one thing. What tawfiq? Our heart wasn't in it. We made our zuhr namaz. We got up for fajr. We didn't have no motivation. But we read it. What a blessing from Allah Ta'ala. And in these days, when how few people are reading, Allah chose you. So instead of being despondent that, no, I know enjoyment in my ibadah. Rather look at the point that Allah gave me tawfiq of deen. And that will encourage you to do even more. Coming to majlis, for example, perhaps we don't have motivation. But that I came. And I sat with so many people, and why I went? To get the love of Allah, to make my islah. And what your niyat? Innama al-a'malu bin niyat. Niyatul mu'min khayrun min amalihi. This niyat of ours, what won't Allah Ta'ala give us? So Allah give us the value of sunnah, and the great, one of the greatest sunnah is the akhlaq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What sublime character Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And as we study seerat and different, and we hear to talks of ulama, try and listen to Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib Rahmat, all our wizards, how they explain sunnah, we will realize we got no akhlaq. And just to even, like one great alim explained, that for us to say the words ayanqusuddin wa Abu Bakr hay, we got no right to say that words also. We got no right to bring it on our tongue. Who was Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu? And what in what way he said it? Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, we got no right to talk or to call our talks of sunnah, to call it seerat also. Hey, looking at it from a very high level, that the seerat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, my stinking mouth. Really, if we go and see where I got the right of even thinking of going to Medina Sharif. But shaitan, that is all shaitan's ploys. Which one person said, kis muh se jaoge tum Kaaba Sharif ko, sharam tumko magar nahi aati. How will you go to Kaaba? You got no shame. You going to Kaaba? All your sins of your lifetime. And you're going to stand in front of Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ahmed Sahib Pertab Gari Rahmat, and these are our great, great elders. How they made it easy that all that shame, I'll bury it in the ground. And this is that your person goes to. And there, Allah is Kareem. His Rasul is Kareem. Allah is Akram. His Rasul is Akram. And you going to them, you will be accepted there. So don't have that. But from our side, we think, what am I? Where am I fit to be there? But we also who? That we are still, and we see, we know what we are. But Alhamdulillah, Allah takes us there. He gives us the opportunity to be there. This is only the mercy and kindness of Allah. Give us tawfiq to bring the whole of deen into our lives. The five branches of deen, we make effort, our niyat, and we make effort to bring it into our lives.